All right, why don't we pray for a couple of minutes and just ask God for a word for you. I've been praying, and God put this on my heart to share with you, but no matter what I say today, it's not going to help you unless you truly want a word from God. So pray, bring your thoughts, bring your heart before God and ask Him to maybe deliver you from something that you can't be delivered from, maybe to renew some strength, renew some hope, renew some dreams. Maybe there's a vision that you lost and you want that back. Maybe there is a road that you lost and you need to get back on it. I don't know what it is that you need from God, but I know that we all have a need. And if you come, truly come before Him today and ask Him to give that to you, deliver that to you, I'm very sure He will. Lord, we thank You this morning for being here with us. We thank You for Your word. We thank You for giving us the way of life. Lord, I pray that You would speak to every soul today. I pray that You would speak to everyone, and no one would leave this place without answering their questions, giving them the desires of their heart. Lord, we love You, and we thank You for all of Your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. This message came about because I'm going through the stories of the Bible one by one with the kids, and that I was talking to the kids about Joseph, and this part right here, here comes the dreamer, let us kill him. It was like an arrow that just went through my heart, truly. And I spent days after praying and dedicating my time for my children and for myself and for my brothers and sisters and family, because I felt like this was not their voice, even though you can hear it from them. But I felt like this was the enemy's plan. This is what he says every morning when he gets together with his little demons, you know. He said, here comes the dreamer, let us kill him. Here comes the one that who has dreams and hopes. Here comes the one that God has a plan for, let us kill him. And that bothered me a lot. You know, that really bothered me. I was going to speak about something else today, but I felt like God really wanted me to speak about that. And I wanted to address that with you, because I felt like a lot of us maybe have heard this before. A lot of us maybe have not heard it, but it was said about them. Here comes the dreamer, let us kill him. Here comes the one that God wants to use, let us kill him. Here comes the father who wants to be good to his children, let's kill that. Here comes the doctor that wants to do well by his patients, let us kill him. Here comes the businessman that wants to help people, let us kill him. Here comes the pastor that wants to expand the word of God and wants to expand the kingdom of God, let us kill him. That word, believe it or not, is being spoken to on every one of us today. You know, when his brothers saw him coming, they didn't say, here comes the spoiled kid with that colored, you know, shirt. They didn't say, here comes the kid that told on us. They didn't say any of that. They said, here comes the dreamer. Today's message is for your dreams. And the enemy's plan is for your dreams. While we spend so much time looking back at what we've done before, what we've missed, we're missing on our future. I know that we messed up. I know we all did. I will be the first one to say, I know I messed up. I know that my past wasn't the greatest. But you know what? I know that there is a God that we heard last time that took away all of our sins and iniquities and ready to give us a new start. And that new start can reach us to our dreams. So I want to speak to you about three things today. I want to speak to you about Jacob's plan. I'm going to speak to you about the enemy's plan. And then I'm going to speak to you about God's plan. Are you ready? All right, let's go. Jacob's plan. Jacob calls up Joseph. Hey, Joseph, here is some, go check on your brothers and come back to me. His plan is for Joseph to come back to him. Come back to me so you can wear your colored shirt, so I can just stare at you and see how beautiful you are, how sweet you are, and just enjoy life with me. You know, enjoy life that just sitting at home. While everyone else is supposed to be working, I need you to be here with me. Maybe because he was worried about him from his brothers. Yes, they were evil brothers. Yes, they were not so great to him. But God's plan is not for us to sit home and just wear our beautiful clothes and just watch Netflix every day. That's not God's plan. That could be my plan every couple of Saturdays. I want to do that, but God's plan is completely different. God's plan is for us to get out on the field to see what He has prepared for us. God's plan for us is just like that eagle, you know, when he shakes up his little nest. He is not there to kill his eaglets, little eagles, you know. His goal is not to kill them or destroy them. His goal is to make them eagles. His goal is to let them learn how to fly. And nothing will teach you how to fly unless being out of your comfort zone. Other than you get out of your comfort zone, other than leaving that nest. Jacob's plan for Joseph was to simply just stay home and do nothing, or at least do the bare minimum. God's plan for Joseph was to give life to all humanity. And that's not going to happen by just staying at home. You know, God had a plan for someone. I don't forgot his name. I think his name was Jesus. You know, but for that plan, but for that plan to work, Jesus has to go where? Where? But before the cross, what did he have to do? We just celebrated Christmas. Come on. He had to step down to earth. You know, he had to let him out of heaven. Why would Jesus leave heaven, leave all the glory, and step into this ugly place? And he didn't go live in Beverly Hills or Brentwood. No. He went lived in the ghetto of Israel. You know, he went to the worst of the worst, knowing that he's going to go and suffer, knowing that he's going to struggle, knowing that he is going to have such a difficult time dealing with people. The very people that he came to bless. But for that plan to work, to save all humanity, Jesus had to step down. For that period of time, for Joseph's plan, for Joseph's purpose to work, he had to leave his father's house. He had to go out. Jacob told him, go, just deliver a message, see how they're feeling, come back to me. And God was like, I'm taking it from here. You've done enough with the boy. He's a great kid. He's a wonderful kid, but I have a different purpose for him. One of the biggest struggles for parents is to shut up. And seriously, you know, the kids are not here, so I can say that. But some of my biggest struggles as a parent is to shut up and let God do his plan with my children. Because I love them to death, right? But that love sometimes could harm them. We had to have so many conversations. And I truly thank God for Dina, because she is the wise, you know, voice in our house. And it's true that sometimes she lets me, you just gotta back up a little bit and let God do what God desires to do. Jacob had a desire for him to come back, stay home. God had a desire for him to go out and save all humanity. You know, a few weeks ago, we sent out our Joseph, our own Joseph. And I kept looking at Tant, and she's crying and crying. And I'm like, why would we let him leave? He's an amazing worship leader. I want him to stay here. But you know what? God has a bigger plan for our Joseph, right? And we all see it. And that's why he is, 5,000? But we know God has a plan for him. We know if we keep him here, he's not going to be the man with the purpose that God had for him. Jacob might have a plan, but God has a different plan. You know, Joseph had some dreams. And he had those dreams, and he told the dreams to his brothers and his family. And were not accepted well, you know. Like when my son comes and says, you know, I'm going to get a scholarship, I'm going to play for Harvard, and then I'm going to go become a cardiologist one day, I can say, shut up, you're not going to go to college, you're not going to finish, you know, school, and you're going to go work somewhere. Or I can say, let's do it. You know, let's do it. Let's see what it takes and go work at it. Unfortunately, that's not what happened with his family. His family had a different plan for him. Actually didn't listen to what the guy was saying. And this is going to take us to the next level. When someone is speaking, we can choose to listen with God's ears, or we can choose to listen with our own ears. Because all they heard that day, this whole family, all they heard is, I'm going to rule over all of you. You all are going to worship me. You're all going to bow down to me. That's all they heard. Even though they could have heard it completely different. They could have heard it the way God intended for it to be, which is, no, I am going to, and that's what he said later in Genesis 45, and we'll mention it later. God sent me before you to prepare life. I am not here to rule over you so you can bow down to me. I am here to show you the glory of God. I am here to pave the way that you and your children one day will have life. The first dream was that Joseph told his brothers and family that we were all out in the field. We're all working, all the same. And my bundle of, what was it? Sheaves. My bundle of sheaves stood up, okay? And 11, your bundles came and bowed down to that bundle. The way they took it is, you're going to reign over us? You think we're going to come? You think you're better than us? You know? But the way I see it, these dead sheaves that were out of the ground already had some power, had some divine power in them that made them stand up. And all the other sheaves on the field saw that, and they came to admire what God has done with those sheaves. Why can't I ask God to do the same thing in my life? And instead of arguing with my brother and sister, and instead of arguing with someone who had dreams for God's glory to be in them and to work in them, why can't I come to God as well and say, just like you did in this, can you do the same work in me? Can you work in my life the same way you worked in Joseph's life? Can you work in my life just the same way you worked in Paul's life? Matter of fact, can you work in my life the same way you worked in Jesus? The same power, I love that song, the same power that raised Jesus from where? From the grave. That same power can be in us and can make us get up again. Can make us get up after we fall. Can make us get up when we lose our hope. Can make us get up when we lose our way. That same power still here. His dream was simply to represent the life of Jesus. That's his dream. That's all what he dreamt of. He didn't dream for anyone to come and bow down to him. He didn't dream to have authority so he can show off, or he didn't dream of castles or mansions, or he didn't dream any of that. His dream was to represent God and to have God's glory in his life. That's his dream. What is your dream? What is your dream? You know, when that happened, I asked myself that question. And I was about to be politically correct, even with myself. And I was like, be quiet. What is your dream? And I had to search my heart to see what my dream is. I had to search my heart to see what is the thing that I think about the most every day. What is the thing that keeps me occupied? What is my dream? That same dream came to him again, one more time. But this time, for not just the 11, but the 11 and the moon and the sun came and worshipped. This dream this time had nothing to do with what's happening here on earth. This dream is all the above. It's all coming from heaven. That dream is that one day every tongue and every knee will bow to the one who reigns. That dream is direct. His mom was dead at that time. So it cannot be that your mother and father were. No. This is a dream about that every nation, every tongue will confess and come before our God. Is that our dream? Is that my dream? See, his dreams were completely misread. His dreams. Because later on we hear about him that we hear from Joseph that it is for God to do what? Interpret, translate the dreams. See, Joseph had the ability to understand the dreams of the cup bearer or the chief baker or and Pharaoh later on. He had the ability to translate those dreams because God gave him the knowledge and wisdom to do so. To translate what someone is saying to you, to translate what's happening in your life, You need that. You need to ask God for wisdom. You need to ask God to open your ears to what you're actually hearing today. Otherwise, you're going to be hearing a 45 minutes mumbling of a bad accent Egyptian preacher. That's all that you're going to hear. But if you ask God for true word, He's going to interpret that to you the way you need it to. The way your heart is going to receive it. The way your life is going to change because of it. Not because of my words, but because of His word. The dreams, you know, that God gave him was specifically to him. And I want to challenge every one of us to try to remember or try to discover our dreams. I know that God spoke to you one day in one way or another. I know that God gave you a word. I know, because you're here, you're breathing. I've seen you several times. I know that God spoke a word on your life. My challenge for you is remember that word. Bring it before God. I know a few words that He spoke to me. And at the time, I said, "You sure you got the right? You sure you got the right person? You sure you're talking to me?" And day after day, I look up and I even go to Dina and say, "Remember that thing we talked about before? I think it's happening. Remember that situation that we went through? I think here we are." Dream after dream, day after day. His family, his father, number one wanted him to stay. The other just hated him and wanted to very much kill his dreams. And here is the plan to kill his dreams. Number one is very simple. Just kill him. Just number one, just take his life. Take his life. It's so easy to take life now. We live in a world, all what we hear about is killing and shooting and people dying, videos of people killing others, videos of in the news. And we have political parties that, I'm not talking politics, but we have, no really, I'm not talking politics, but we have political parties or officials that some of them, they are pro-life, but only before birth. And the others are pro-life, but only after birth. You know, but if I am trying to get to a place where we all pro-life before and after. I'm trying to get to a place, I'm trying to talk to people where we can agree that life matters in general. We are trying to agree that every life matters. We're trying to agree that if that newborn baby is important to you, do something about it. And if that high school student is important to you, please do something about it. Again, this is not politics talk, this is Christian talk. Because we are involved in this society. We are involved in this world, and we need to voice our opinion. We need to let people know that we do care. Being a Christian does not mean we lock ourselves in a church or lock ourselves in a home, hang out only with Christians, and call it a day. No, being a Christian, that we need to be in this world. We are in it for a reason. We're not after it, but we are in it. We need to be involved in it. Matter of fact, Jesus did most of his preaching where? Is in the synagogue, or did most of his preaching at homes, in the streets, at the beach, or everywhere? Jesus went everywhere. He actually addressed society, like things that people are going through. And for some reason, we think that we need to just isolate ourselves and no, we can't talk politics. No, this is not politics. We're talking life. We are talking life because a lot of those babies that are either unborn or born, believe it or not, God has big dreams for them. Because in Jeremiah 29:11, what did he say? I know the dreams, I know the hopes, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to do what? Plans to prosper you, plans to give you success. But that's not it. Let me read you the whole verse. The plans that God has for us is to have a relationship with us. That you will call me by my name, and I will do what? I will answer you. God is planning to have a relationship with us. We cannot have a relationship with God if we're dead. We cannot have a relationship with God when bullets are flying in our heads or our hearts. We cannot have a relationship with God when we're not even having the chance to be born. Before Jesus was born, what did they do? The king sent a message, and he killed all these babies because Jesus is coming for salvation. Before Moses, during Moses' time, what happened? Same thing happened because the Savior was about to be born. I wonder how many doctors we lost. I wonder how many pastors, how many preachers, how many engineers, how many, you name it. How many people we lost because the enemy got to them first. I wonder how many dreams were killed because of a bullet. I wonder how many dreams were killed because political agendas. I wonder how many dreams were dead before they even saw the sun. It freaks me out and it makes me sad. It makes me sad that I have to send my kids to school and to sports event where there is no safety. And I know that the enemy is after killing people. This is not a joke. This is not a joke, and it should not stay in church. This is not a joke, and it should not just be between us, and we should be scared to talk about it. You know, I learned something a couple of years ago, and this is very personal, and maybe I shouldn't share it, but I just learned it a couple of years ago that I wasn't supposed to be born. Really, I wasn't supposed to be born. I was going to be aborted. Is that the word? I was going to be aborted. But let me ask you a question. Can you imagine life without me being here? Seriously, can you, for 1 minute, can you, for 1 minute, think how you're going to survive this world? No, I heard this and I was like, really? Why? What did I do? You know, I didn't do anything. I wasn't even born. I know after I was born, maybe I deserved it, but before I was born, I didn't do anything. But God fought for me. And he fought that I would be here one day. He fought that I would come to this church and come to this great country. He fought that I would meet Dina and we'd have these two beautiful kids. He fought that I would have a brother like Philip. He fought that I would come before you today to talk to you about your own dreams as I have mine. He fought. Can we fight? Can we fight to not let the enemy kill more dreams? Can we fight as a church to not let the enemy take more souls from our neighborhood, from our society, from the people that we love? Can we fight? Maybe we'll have another one of me, you know? You never know. I know it doesn't happen often, but maybe you will have another one or two, you know? You know I'm just joking. I am very humble. I am. I know. So the first plan was to just take out his life. And God had a way. God had his actually oldest brother. His name is Reuben. And God can use anyone and anything. And if anyone needed to be more jealous of Joseph, it should have been this guy. Because he is the oldest. He is the firstborn. But Joseph, he was supposed to get all the attention, you know. But Joseph was getting all the attention. However, God used this person to not let his brothers kill him. And then they decided to throw him in a well. And then at the right time, I mean, look how God made everything work together. You know, at the right time, a caravan of dealers and people who are buying and selling stuff walks by. And then one of his brothers suggests, why do we have to kill him? Why don't we just sell him? Why don't we just send him, you know, sell him and make some money off of him while he's here, while we're here? So they decided to do what? Sell him and send him to Egypt, right? So the first plan, God intervened and it did not work. The second plan was to, okay, you're in Egypt now, all right, you made it. Okay, now here comes the deadlier, yeah, that's the word, deadlier, the deadliest, thank you, Philip, the deadliest, the day comes that Philip is correcting my English. So, So here comes the deadliest disease. All right, you're in Egypt now. He's working for the guards chief, whatever his position is. It's a big position, right? He's working for him. And we hear it right away that God was with Joseph, and everything he did prospered, right? We no longer, it's like we're talking about someone who just started his own business or someone who just picked up a new job. We don't really hear a struggle here. We don't hear complaints. We don't hear anything about that. It's all success. It's all happy. It's all a great story. Things are about to look up for Joseph, but wait. The enemy now is going to throw at him probably his deadliest disease. And that's to have him commit sin, have him to commit adultery with his boss's wife. The woman, day after day, she would ask him to sleep with her. Matter of fact, in the beginning, she would ask him to just sleep next to her, and then sleep with me. And then it keeps going until he kept resisting. And I wonder how many people lost their dreams in that battle. I know a couple of people that ended their lives in a way they shouldn't. I know that Joseph went from a very poor, unknown slave to be the most powerful man on earth at that time. And I know another one who went from being the most powerful man on earth years ago. His name is Samson. He was the most powerful man on earth. And then he ended up having to work as a bull? Ox? Yeah. They took out his eyes and they tied him to a grain grinder and had him work as a grain grinder. That's the job of an ox. It's not the job of a human being. He won so many battles against the Palestinians. He won so many battles with his sword, but he had a battle against self-control. He did not win that battle. And that battle took him from being the most powerful man on earth at that time to work a job of an ox, to work a job of an animal. I love Samson, great guy. He will see him in heaven one day, right? But he wasted his life. When the Philistinian swords could not get to him, this sin got to him. So the enemy's plan next was to separate Joseph from his true strength. His true strength comes from God. His true strength comes from the one who's protecting him. There's one verse in the Bible that I love. One of my favorite verses that I read every single morning. That verse is from Jabez. When he was praying to the Lord and he cried, let me read it to you. And it's in 1 Chronicles 4:10. It says, Jabez cried out to the Lord of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory." All great, right? Wonderful prayer. But that's not the part that gets me. The part that gets me is, "Let your hand be with me and keep me from evil." Let your hand be with me and keep me from evil, because it will cause me pain. I wonder how many people lost their dreams, lost their future, lost their hopes, because of this battle. I wonder how many people give up their daily quiet time for a daily quiet time in front of on the internet. I wonder how many people look at filthy videos, having horrible thoughts, horrible time thinking about reaching and committing this sin. There were a couple of videos that I saw a few years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, when ISIS was, I don't know why people shared that, but I was looking on Facebook and on your news feed. When you see that videos of ISIS beheading people and burning people, and I try to scroll up or down quickly, and I had to block a lot of people that shared those videos. But it was such a painful thing to watch. Yet, it's okay for believers to think it's okay to watch, filthy videos on the internet. I honestly think that this is more horrifying. Being addicted to pornography, being addicted to these type of sins is more horrifying than the beheading and the burning videos. The Bible said, would a man take fire in his lap and not be burned? Would you walk on coal and not have your feet burned out? No. See, the enemy knew that this sin, this specifically, this sin is the one to get him at that time. 17 years old, away from his father and mother, this could be your reward. You need the love. You need the affection. You need the companionship. You need whatever title you can put on it to just not let it, to not call it adultery. You need this, you need this, you need this. But at the end of the day, it is adultery. It is adultery, and he needed God's hand. The reason why I read that, because one of the verses that Julie read earlier, that it speaks about, because his strong arm stayed limber because of the hand of the mighty one of Jacob. When all these arrows are directed at him, he won. You know why? Because of the strong hand that protected him. And that strong hand needed to protect him more from his brothers on this issue right here than anything else. A lot of, you know, one of my favorite characters in the Bible is David. You know, you guys, I mention him all the time. I love him. But David, his two horrible sins, you know, the two sins that he committed that we talk about him all the time. One was when he went to work for the Palestinians' king. And I think I preached about this a while back, right? And that was because he was scared. He was scared. He was terrified. He got tired. He got, you know, it's like, that's it. That's too much. He went and lived, committed the worst sin that he can commit, right? And he worked as, very much he was a gangster for a long time, like about 18 months, killing people. And then his other sin came because he didn't want to go out on the field. He didn't want to go out to war. He felt like, I've worked hard enough all of my life. This is time to relax. And what happened when he relaxed? He committed sin. See, the enemy will try to wrap sin for us in any possible way that we would take it. Joseph could have, that time, he could have translated this relationship as, I just need comfort. I just need a relationship. I just need to be with someone. These are the words that are used. These are the words that are used to trick believers, sons and daughters, not just people outside in the world. I'm talking about sons and daughters of God to fall into this sin. But God's hand was with him. God's hand was with him, and God was in front of him. So when she kept coming at him, he was not seeing her. He was seeing God. Every time she stepped onto him, he did not see a piece of meat. He did not see a flesh. He saw God. He saw that she is a daughter of God. Yeah, she lost her way. She's not there. But at the end of the day, she is a daughter of God. At the end of the day, I am more than just this body. There is something greater inside of me that I'm not going to take that spirit of God. I'm not going to allow a few moments pleasure to take away the ultimate pleasure in my life. You know, Joseph kept focused on God. He won this battle. He kept his eyes on God. He won this battle. And let me tell you, the only way for any of us here, any of us, youngest to oldest, to win this battle is to keep focused on God. The only way we can go through this life without falling into this sin is to keep our eyes on God, because you and I are not equipped to say no. We are not equipped to say no on our own. Only by the help of God we can say no. Samson woke up that last time, and the Bible said something that's so scary, so scary. After she cut his hair and she said, the Palestinians are here to get you, he woke up, but he didn't know that the power of God had what? Left him. The power of God had left him. Samson kept, it's so funny. He would go fight with the Palestinians and then would go and sleep with a Palestinian woman. I mean, he would, like, these people are out there to kill you, to get you, and you're going back to that same exact place. This is where we need that self-control. This is where we need to call things the way they are. No, it is adultery. It is sin. The final thing that I want to talk to you about, well, not really the final thing, taking away his trust in God. So he tried to kill him. The enemy tried to kill him, physically tried to kill him, but God prospered. The enemy tried to throw his deadliest disease to separate him from God, but God prospered. And finally, he wanted to shake his trust in God. Now he's in prison. Great place to be, by the way. no, really, great place to be, if you make it. If you make it. I was sending this to Dina a few weeks ago, and we talked about it for weeks, that when Paul and I believe it was Silas were in prison, they turned prison into a revival. They turned prison into a church service. And my point, or what we were discussing, is how can we turn any prison we walk into to a testimony, right? That's our challenge, to turn any prison, to turn any hard time we go through into a testimony. But sometimes we fall into the opposite thing, where when we go into a testimony and turn it into prison, when we walk into church and turn church into prison, just like I was saying earlier, church, I'm not talking about our church, I'm talking about church in general. Church in general is not a prison. Church is not four walls. Church is being out in the world. So he gets to prison. Anyway, he gets to prison and he interprets these two dreams to the cup bearer and to the chief of the bakers, right? And then he tells the guy, but when all goes well with you, remember me and show me kindness. Mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison. I was forcibly carried off from the land of the Hebrews, and even here I have done nothing to deserve being put in the dungeon. Let me ask you, was it okay for him to say that? Yeah, it's okay. It's okay. Don't be scared. It is okay for him to say that. Is it okay for us to feel pain when we're in prison? Is it okay for us to feel sad when we're going through sad times? Is it okay for us to express pain when we are going through pain? Absolutely. Absolutely, it is okay. But God has his timing. Listen, when we're in prison, when you and I are in prison, there are three things we need to remember. God loves us more than we can ever think. And we're not in prison because he hates us. God has a purpose for us to be in prison. In Joseph's case, where else would you learn the politics of Egypt? He's in prison with all the politicians that Pharaoh put in prison. This is the perfect place for you to learn about the economy, for you to learn about politics, to learn about war, to learn about everything that's going on, because now he is in prison with all the politicians. And if you know Egyptians, they love putting politicians in prison. And only the good ones. Really, only the good politicians go to prison. The bad ones are now in charge. So, that's not politics. Anyway. Is it politics? But it's not our country. Anyway, so let's go back to Joseph now. So Joseph is in prison with the finest, you know, politicians, economists, and everyone. It's a perfect place for him to learn. He didn't know that. Because he doesn't know that in just a couple of years, he's going to go out. You could be going through a very painful, painful situation right now. All that's going to do in you is just going to make you an expert on how to deliver others from that same exact situation. You know, when I go through hard time, I tell Dina, it's just another diploma. You know, I didn't get a lot of diplomas. I wasn't a very good student. I was not. But with the school of God, he just wants to give me diplomas. He just wants me to learn. And nothing teaches me like being in prison. Nothing teaches me like going through hard times and tough times. And the last thing, that God has his timing. Let's say that cupbearer remembered him, went back to Pharaoh and said, hey, there's this kid that I met in prison. He didn't do anything wrong. He didn't commit any of the sins or things that, you know, that people are accusing him of. Can you please let him go? He would have probably listened. He would have probably been out of jail, right? But when you go, if he had gone out of jail, where would he go? Back home, right? He would go back home or go probably stay in, you know, Egypt, still work for someone as a slave or as whatever it is. And that would be it. Don't cut your story short because you're tired of being in prison. You're in prison for those 2 extra years, Joseph. You're in prison for those 2 extra years because God has his perfect timing. Where Pharaoh is going to have the dream, and the 7 years of prosperity are going to come after the dream, and then the other 7 years are going to come. And God will give you the wisdom to use those years in prison to apply to your next chapter of life. I wonder how many of us dropped out. I know I did. I know I did many times drop out. I dropped out of a lot of classes that God enrolled me in. Dropped out, but it never went away. I had to go back and enroll again. I really did. And I had to start all over again. I had to go all through all the hours, one by one. But don't cut your story short. You deserve better than this. You deserve God's complete purpose in your life. It might be another 2 years. It might be another week. It might be another season. But you know what? That season is just as important for you as when you were in the will, when you were at the police office, you know, the police chief's house. That season is very, very important for you because God has his perfect timing. I always use Dina's cooking. When she starts cooking and I start smelling food, I run to the kitchen. Like, you need me. I'm the fastest when I'm running to the kitchen. And she looks at me and goes, it's not ready yet. You know? And I don't believe that. And every time I fall for it, you know? It's not ready yet, but I still put my hands in. I get burned. But I still fall for it. Because I want to rush things. Joseph, finally, not showing some kind of weakness, but finally, the enemy's trying to get that. But he still had what? If you go back to the first few verses we read, he had the rock of Israel. When things seem shaky, when things seem that it's not where it's supposed to be, we have a rock to lean on. We have a rock that will never, never be shaken or never be moved if we're standing on that rock. And that rock is, God loves me. He died on the cross for me. He gave his life for me. He resurrected so he can give me a new life. What else do I need? Everything else, just a bunch of details. Do we need it? Yes, we do. Do we want it? Yes, we do. But is he going to give it to us before it's due? Nope. It's going to be done. Finally, I want to close with this, if we can. Joseph finally meets his brothers, and he goes, I'm going to read you just this verse, and we can close. It's in Genesis 45. He tells his brothers, so then it was not you that sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of this entire household and ruler of all Egypt. God sent him there. Now he can see the whole scenario played out. He's not mad at his brothers and sisters anymore. He's not mad at anyone anymore. He's not mad at himself. He's not mad at his parents. He's not mad. He has so much peace with everything that he went through, because he finally saw God's plan, step by step. Why don't we do this the opposite way? If you're in the will right now, if you're in the will right now, God has a plan. If you're in prison, God has a plan. If you're in Potiphar's house, God has a plan. Why don't I tell you that right now? Why don't you take that to heart and listen to what Jesus said in John 14:14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Why don't we take that? Why don't we take God's word, do not be afraid? Why don't we take God's word that I know you? I know who you are. Why don't we take God's word right now and instead of waiting for it to end and then have some peace, why don't we have peace while we're going through it? Why don't we have peace since we know that God is in control and he could use someone from like Reuven who's supposed to kill him and is supposed to be mad at him more than anyone else, and he could use Pharaoh himself. He can use a shepherd or he can use Pharaoh to get us to where we're supposed to be. Because God is in control. God has a plan for us. That's what he told his disciples. That's what he told us. That's what he keeps telling us every day of our life. Joseph is a fruitful vine. This is, by the way, Genesis 49. When you go home, try to read this again, just by yourself. You know, read this again. Joseph is a fruitful vine near a spring, whose branches climb over a wall. How many walls did he have? How many walls did Joseph have to climb? Too many walls, right? With bitterness, arches attacked him. They shot at him with hostility. But his bow remained steady. What's a bow? Can you guys help me? Bow. What is a bow? Yeah. So what do you use it for? Hunting, shooting back, right? I thought the Bible should say when the arches are pointed at him, he should have what? A shield or something, right? To protect himself. But this guy doesn't stop fighting. He does not stop fighting. Yeah, you can keep throwing whatever you want to throw at me. I'm going to shoot right back. You know, one time we went to it was on Valentine's Day, the only Valentine's Day we ever celebrated since we got married. And I think since then, Dina never wanted to celebrate Valentine's Day. I took her to the firing range. So romantic, right? So I took her to the firing range, and she goes, "They have guns." I was like, "I got guns too. You know, I'm not scared of anyone." She was like, "What if they shoot at us?" I'm like, "I'll shoot back." She was so scared, but she forgot that we have guns. Well, I had guns. You know, she's so scared that we were walking into a firing range thinking that people are going to shoot at us. Joseph was not scared of whoever was shooting at him. He actually started shooting back with a very steady arm, not at people. He never took a shot at anyone. He never took a shot at that woman that accused him wrongfully. He never took a shot at his brothers and his family. He never took a shot at anyone, but every shot he took it to the heart of the enemy. Every time the enemy pointed or directed his weapon at him, he took it right back into his chest. And that's my prayer for all of us today. Let's finish, and I want you really guys to read it at home again. With bitterness, arches attacked him. They shot at him with hostility, but his bow remained steady. His strong arms stayed limber because of the hand of the mighty one of Jacob. Because of the hand of the mighty one of Jacob. How did you get all that strength? How were you able to stay steady? How were you able to fight back? It's not me. It's because of the mighty hands of God. It's because of the mighty hands of the one who went to the cross, went to the grave, but still got out, beating the cross, beating death and beating sin altogether. Because of the shepherd, the rock of Israel, because of your father's God who helps you, because of the Almighty who blesses you with blessings of the skies above, blessings of the deep springs below, blessings of the breast and womb. Your father's blessings are greater than the blessings of the ancient mountains. These are the blessings that God has for every one of us today. These are the blessings that God is dreaming that we all grab today. These are the blessings that are on our God's heart to give us before we leave this place today. God's heart today is for us to resurrect our dreams. God's heart is for us to never say anymore, "I'm done. I'm walking out." God's heart for us is that we would never, ever drop out again when we're still in our class that he wants us to go through, because there is a diploma waiting for us. Let's pray. You probably don't know the importance of these words because you don't know the importance of your destiny. God has an amazing and a great destiny for you. Your destiny is to bring God's glory to this earth. Your destiny is to one day go be with Him in heaven, full of glory. This is your destiny. This is the dream that God has for you. His dream is that you would be great, that you would do great things here on earth. And one day you'll be called home, or one day He will come back and take us, and He will say, "Well done, my faithful servant." God's dreams for you to make you the best version that He created you to be. This is His dream for you. God's dream for all of us in this room is that we would walk out resurrecting our dreams, that we would be resurrecting our future and our hope, that we become the best fathers, the best mothers, the best pastors, the best whatever it is that you are, we would be the best of what we can be. But it's not going to be easy. We live in a sinful, ugly world that's targeting all of its weapons against you, against your life. And Lord, I pray for protection. In Jesus' name, I pray for protection over every life in this room. I pray for protection over all of our families. I pray for protection over our workplaces. I pray for protection over every place we go to. Lord, I pray that we would take that protection with us wherever we go, that we become shield for others. Lord, I pray that we would not fall into any kind of sin, whatever it's called, whatever it seems. Even if it seems to fit, even if it seems comforting, even if it seems the place to go, we don't want to ever wake up knowing that you left us, that the power of God is gone, that we are naked. Lord, I pray that we would have the patience and we would renew our strength today, that we would wait on you, knowing and trusting that you love us, that you have a purpose, that you have the best and perfect timing for all of us. Why don't we take a few minutes just between you and God? Great news is you're here. So the enemy didn't succeed at taking your life. That's good news. Good news is that on the cross, He forgave all of our sins, that He can make our life brand new. Behold, all the old things are gone. He is making everything new. If you fell in sin, any kind of sin, why don't you come before Him today? Why don't you come on the cross and ask for forgiveness? Why don't you come on the cross and say, "Lord, I believe in you. I believe that on the cross you paid my debt. On the cross you took away everything that I've done before. And now, as far as the east from the west, so are my sins from you." That it's completely wiped out. That you would no longer mention it. You would no longer recall it. It's completely wiped out. Why don't you come and repent? Why don't you come and repent and ask for help? You're not supposed to face sin on your own. You need the mighty hand of God. You need the mighty hand of God that helped Joseph, that helped all the millions and billions of saints before to help you. It doesn't just have to be this kind of sin. It could be any kind of sin. It could be lying. It could be greed. It could be whatever it is. Ask God to give you self-control. Ask God to take over your life. Do not be troubled. Do not be afraid. I know what you're going through. And if I don't know it, He knows it. He knows it. This is nothing but a new diploma that you're about to receive when it's all done. This is nothing to harm you. this is nothing to bother you. This is nothing to make you take a step back. This is something to advance you for the future, for the purpose that He has for you. The Bible said about David that he served his generation. He served the will of God in his generation. God has a purpose for each and every one of us today. Wherever you are, if it's your school, if it's your work, if it's your gym, if it's your church, if it's your commute, whatever it is, God has a purpose for you. His dreams is for you to be used. His dreams is for you to make a difference in this life. His dreams is for you to live as His child and reign with Him one day. That's His dream. His dream is to give you the best and most abundant life that you can have. That's His dream. You are destined. You are destined for much greater things than you think. You are destined. You were made by a wonderful Maker who does not waste His time. God allowed you to be here for a reason. God gave you this life for a reason. Not sure where you are, but I know it doesn't matter where you are. What matters right now is where He can take you. You could be having the worst season of your life. Don't worry. The call is coming. Your number is going to be up very soon. You're going to receive the call from Him. Just stay away from sin. Just keep your eyes focused on Him. He is coming. He is coming.